Well, Zach, welcome back. It's been a while since we just like talked about movies, and even like since I've even just like seen your face.
Yeah, I know. I mean, has it been since like Christmas? I hate that it's been that long, but things just happened in both of our lives that I think just took us away from being able to do this just for fun. But it's good to be back. We've definitely been still watching things.
For sure.
We never stop watching, but...
have not stopped watching movies. Yeah, man. Life happens, and holidays happened, and so we took a short break. But excited to chat with you again. We've obviously been texting about movies as they've come out and as we've gotten around to seeing them, but is that, I feel like that's all we text about
pretty much.
Which is fine.
That or about scheduling the next recording session.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm excited to be back. And if you're listening, you're listening to Movies from the Middle Row, is the name of our podcast. And yeah, like I mentioned, we've been on a short break, but we are back at it. And yeah, I'm just excited to talk to you again, Zach, about movies, because I've moved recently, and it's harder and harder as life gets busier and crazier to like make time to watch movies. It really is like a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Precious time that you
it's a rare occurrence to like really just like pick out a movie that you've heard about, been interested in watching, or that has just been on your list for a while, and like sitting down and carving out, you know, 2 or 3 hours to watch it. And all that to say, we just sort of crossed the line of the Oscars recently happened, and so we kind of been reflecting on 2023 in movies and all of that stuff. But yeah, so today's episode is basically going to be about 2023, some of our favorite movies that we watched. We're going to talk about the Oscars, I'm sure, a little bit. I really don't know exactly where the conversation is going to go. We just kind of want to look back at movies that came out last year and talk about it, share our thoughts, share some favorites, maybe share some least favorites. I don't know. I don't know what Zach has in his back pocket. Yeah, anything you want to add or say before we get into it?
Yeah, I guess maybe, you know, engage with us in this conversation. We hope we're just really talking about reflecting on things maybe that we liked last year that we didn't give a full episode to, or just never got around to discussing for one reason or another. So if there's anything that you think we should check out, you know, message us or suggest a movie to us if we missed it, or maybe we'll give you one to watch too. So I hope that this is just engaging for everybody.
And I am remembering now, we made a list, gosh, I don't know how many episodes ago, but of like movies we were most looking forward to seeing in 2023.
Yeah,
I don't have that list in front of me, but I'm just like recalling what were some of my most anticipated and which of those like actually ended up being favorites and which of them didn't. I don't know if, do you remember any of yours? Not to get into spoiler territory of like movies we're going to talk about, but
yeah, I definitely remember being excited for Mission Impossible.
Yeah, that's
John Wick 4. Nolan had another one last year. I think those were kind of the big ones.
Yeah. Yes, I feel like, well, definitely Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. I keep seeing like a, well, I don't know if I keep seeing, but I just saw like a casting announcement, like another casting announcement.
Yeah.
For Part 2, which I guess is not called Part 2 anymore, but they haven't released like an official name. I don't know. But I felt like for a while there, it was like, oh, what's his name? Nick Offerman is in Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. This person is in Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2. But like the next one.
Yeah. Did you see that it's no longer going to be Dead Reckoning Part 2?
I know. Yeah. No, yeah. I saw that, which I kind of like. I don't know. I'm not crazy about the like Part 1, Part 2 thing at this point. Like, just give me a new title.
It just feels like they're not, the marketing team didn't have the courage to stick with it because the first one didn't make enough money. If it's thematically and like the events are tied together that closely as it was intended, why are we messing with that now? It's just like, stick with your guns and do what you were going to do. But I don't care about the money. I just want a good movie.
I know, man. Just give me 5-10 more Mission Impossible movies. From what I can gather, and so let's just talk about Dead Reckoning as like maybe safe to say one of our favorite movies of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least on the list. From what I can gather is that like from listening to interviews, Christopher McQuarrie, if you didn't know, does like multiple hour long interviews with Empire after each Mission Impossible movie that he's made, just going into like super minute details of like the making of. And it sounds like they very much like make those movies like flying by the seat of their pants.
Yeah.
Like it's very much like improvising on the day, improvising like not like the big stunts, but like like story beats, mm-hmm. and like character moments and things like that that like I think McQuarrie has really infused the franchise with like a level of like I don't even know what to call it, just like richness and it's in their like in the story that they're telling and like cohesion. So all that to say, where was I going with that?
Just that they're unique or
yeah. And so yeah, man, I'm really excited for the next one. But I was gonna say that because of that mentality, like their filmmaking mentality, I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, oh, let's take the eighth one in this direction and maybe it makes more sense to call it this instead of Dead Reckoning Part 2. You know what I mean?
So like, I guess you're
still be connected.
Yeah, you're taking that. Maybe mine was the cynical take. Yours is the optimistic one of maybe it actually was a creative decision. I hadn't considered that. So yeah, I guess it's possible. You're right. Like that's definitely what I've heard too is like, yeah, there are things that change, which totally makes sense when you watch the movies. And I don't mean this as a negative for the film, but in most of the movies, you don't really remember the events or everything that happens. You're just kind of along for the ride. And I think that kind of makes sense. It's because those things weren't necessarily planned out like you said. So I think that makes sense, and I hope that is what happened.
But yeah, no, totally. I was thinking about though on the subject of Mission Impossible that like if it does have a different title and it's not like Dead Reckoning Part 2, like what will come of all of the like DVDs and merchandise that say like Dead Reckoning Part 1?
Yeah.
Is it just gonna be this like I don't know. Is my Blu-ray of Dead Reckoning Part 1 just going to be worth like more money because it says Part 1 and the and the second part isn't actually Part 2?
I actually have a like poster with the Part 1 on it too, which that'll be hilarious.
That's great. So in the scope of last year, you kind of named three big ones for you, like John Wick 4, Mission Impossible, Oppenheimer. you were mostly looking forward to all of those. Yeah. Did all of those movies kind of fully satisfy you, like meet your expectations? Were there others that surprised you that you ended up liking more than those three? We had a whole episode on Oppenheimer, mm-hmm. if you want to listen to it. But
yeah, I mean, I think the three that I mentioned definitely met or exceeded my expectations. Like, I kind of got what I wanted, and yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There were definitely some others that probably were not even on my anticipated list, because not every movie gets announced that early. But
right. Yeah. What did, how did you feel just like seeing our boy Christopher Nolan, like walking away with like multiple Oscars? I mean, for a while it seemed like you're like a Christopher Nolan fan. He's like been nominated, but hasn't been nominated that much, mm-hmm. like as many times as you think he would have been. And like, sort of for a while felt like he's just not, that's not going to be his deal. Like, right. He's going to be sort of apart from the Academy. He's going to keep doing his thing. And maybe when he's old, they're going to recognize him finally. But that didn't happen. He's an Oscar winner. We haven't talked about that, really.
I know, yeah. It was definitely great to see it. Like, I think a lot of people, like you were saying, had kind of compared him to how Hitchcock was, in that he was renowned as a good director, but was never really formally recognized by the Academy. There are tons of directors that fall in that camp, so it is nice mm-hmm. to see, Nolan kind of escalate up to this point of this mm-hmm. caliber. I guess my only kind of counter thought is, I wish it would have been for a different movie. Because I actually, my personal favorites, I would have preferred those win, but I am happy that he has one. But I think someone said this, maybe another podcast, that they thought Nolan was really gunning for best adapted screenplay.
Interesting.
Just because that was such a huge novel. But
yeah,
I just think it's a little ironic. Maybe that's the one he maybe thought was mm-hmm. the most work that he put in. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. He did not get that one.
Yeah, I have heard, and I don't know where I've even heard this, but that the screenplay Oscars are kind of the ones that a lot of filmmakers like really want, because it's like, I don't know. I guess people kind of recognize it, like, good scripts are like what make like good movies possible. Mm-hmm. And obviously you can make a good movie with a bad script, and you can make a bad movie with a good script. But I feel like there's some like general reverence or appreciation for like writing, and, you know, maybe because it's not the showy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels like, I don't know, when you win that, you're, like, taking one.
It's, like, the hard one to get, maybe.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but yeah. I really liked, just on that subject, liked Cord Jefferson's speech for original screenplay.
Yeah.
Like, his speech was one of my favorites. He basically made the whole speech about, like, Hollywood and, like, just like big studios funding smaller movies.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, funding $100-200 million movies, but like funding $10 million movies or $5-20 million movies, whatever it may be. I just appreciated that, because I feel like that's sort of I think as a movie lover, that's what we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Happen more of, like, we want the big movies, but there aren't that many Nolans out there. There aren't that many like Denis Villeneuve's out there making the big spectacle movies that are also
mm-hmm.
feel like artistic and personal and like a vision behind it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I just appreciated that.
Yeah. I liked that too. Cause to be honest, it's more interesting to hear people express an opinion than just hear them thank 20
for
people
sure.
for something.
Yeah.
Like it's just,
I will say
it's just a good insight into like
yeah.
the industry they're coming from.
People have talked about this too, which I don't want to get too into the weeds of Oscars, but like of like the actual show, but like I really enjoyed the show.
Mm.
Like I felt like it felt like normal. It didn't feel awkward like it has
yeah.
for different reasons in the past several years. Like it didn't feel like it felt like it was, there were genuinely funny moments, like things won that I wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like the wealth was shared to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought it was a good show too. I feel like I didn't think it was as funny. Like I think some of the jokes the previous year were better, but
mm-hmm.
that's not the point of the show. But I thought it was a good show. I guess we're at the point where the past few years and this year, it's kind of predictable in some
mm-hmm.
ways.
This year especially, I think, was...
Yeah.
There were certain things that... Certain wins that I was like, I would have been shocked if they didn't win.
Right. Like, did we
you
think
know?
Robert Downey Jr. wasn't going to win? Some of those every year. It's like, those are just...
Yeah.
Once a particular idea is in the air... It's
right.
almost like it can't be undone. It's been like written in stone
yeah.
before the show, maybe even
yeah.
before the voting. It just happens that way.
Yeah. Was I still super excited when he won? Yeah. Like, was I still really excited when Christopher Nolan won for directing? Yeah. I thought Oppenheimer was worthy of Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't care so much about that as much as... Like seeing him be, like you said, just like seeing him get something and be recognized.
Yeah, and I think it was cool to see, like, Killian's kind of been one of Nolan's regulars.
Yeah.
So he kind of got a win for his regular and a win through, you know,
yeah.
a new actor that he was working with that was trying to branch out and do different things. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, that I was excited about that too.
Yeah.
I don't have like an intense personal connection for, like with Cillian Murphy like it seems like
yeah.
some people on the internet do. Like I haven't watched Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Not opposed to it. I just haven't gotten around to it. I've always known he was a good actor, an interesting actor.
Mm-hmm.
But but it was cool to see him win.
Yeah. What else were kind of standout moments from the show for you?
Gosh. Well, aside from just being affirmed that John Mulaney has to host next year, I'm trying to think of other moments because that was one of my favorite moments. I've been saying like he should host the past like 2 years
mm.
and they brought him out to present and it really felt like them saying like, this is your practice and next year we'll let you do the whole thing. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's just gold. Like, anything he says, honestly, is hilarious to me. But as far as the actual movies, I don't know, man. I was, there are definitely some things that I wish would have been nominated, but I'm not shocked that didn't get nominated. Like, The Killer was a big movie
mm.
for me last year. That was... one of my favorites.
Yeah, totally snubbed.
Did I?
Not a single
yeah.
nomination.
Not a single nomination. Was it surprising to me? No. Would it have been cool to see it get like a like sound design or something? Yeah. Like throw Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross in there for score. But I don't know. It feels like in some ways like I could rant all day about like David Fincher not being recognized by the Academy for his like masterful
mm.
like craftsmanship and like just work as a filmmaker. I don't know if like anybody cares to hear about that, but like I feel like he's totally doing what he wants to do, and I'm fine with that. But I do kind of miss the days where he would get like a script across his desk, like The Social Network, and then his genius was forced to come into contact with like Aaron Sorkin's genius, and like together they created something perfect. Like I miss those days where he was still working with studios and working with, you know, scripts that came to him, because I feel like those are a lot of his best movies. And some of the movies that he has made out of personal reasons, or that he's commissioned like other people to write, I just haven't been as successful, like commercially and artistically. I think they're all still great, but all that to say, like, it would be cool if he just like made another studio movie as his next movie, even though it'll probably be on Netflix.
Yeah, I think he's in a contract for at least one more. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But I just, not that I want to see him make like Oscar bait, but like it would be cool if he made something that was a little bit more broad, that like reminded Hollywood of his brilliance, and like just like see him get recognized before he dies. Like
Yeah.
that's all I want. He's not that old, but like that's just really all I want. Then again, they had their chance with The Social Network and they completely disregarded him,
So he's
and
never
like
won for director.
no, never won for director. I think only been nominated once or twice. Hasn't won Best Picture. I mean, The Social Network should have won. It won adapted screenplay,
What beat out
and
the Social
score, and
Network?
that was the year of the King's Speech. And man, did I hate the King's Speech that year. I actually liked the movie, but like when you look back on it and you're like, people still talk about The Social Network today
Yeah.
being like one of the best movies of the last,
Yeah.
you know, two
When you
decades.
think back on it, The King's Speech is the movie that feels like it should have been on Netflix. How it's just kind of a historical drama. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like times have changed a lot. I think,
For sure.
would The King's Speech even have been theatrical in this time period?
Oh yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Yeah. Unless it was like Nolan or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my
Yeah,
rant.
no.
I didn't really answer your full fully answer your questions.
What do you think about Wes Anderson finally won an Oscar, but it was for a short film?
Yeah, that was funny to me. Like, I loved Rami, what's his last name? Yusef
Oh yeah.
Rami.
Yep.
I loved his comment of like, we knew you could do him long, but like who knew you could do him short too, or something like that. So yeah, it is funny that like Wes Anderson won his first Oscar for a short film
And wasn't there to accept it.
and wasn't there. But I still haven't seen Asteroid City. That was a last year movie, right? There was a lot of good stuff last year. What maybe just for sake of time, should we get into like, okay, what were our like five favorites? No particular order, but like looking at the slate from last year, whether they were nominated for Oscars or not, like what were some of your movies that come to mind? And feel free to talk about each one as long as you want.
Yeah. I have five that I'm gonna say like these are my five favorite. I hope I can slip in another five as like honorable mentions. We'll see. But
Do it, yeah.
I'm gonna just bring in John Wick Chapter 4. I think that I remember you kind of being a little kind of jaded with the franchise, maybe a little fatigued with it, maybe just kind of too much of the same thing. I'll let you speak for yourself, but
yeah,
for me, it was one of the most fun times in the theater. I just thought it was fun. Like, it was almost like a comedic version of the earlier films. Like, I think it took itself less seriously. So I think I was just able to have more fun with it. And I think that they had fun with it too, just kind of ending what they thought would be kind of the end of this quad trilogy. What do you call it? Cycle. But what are your thoughts on John Wick Chapter 4?
Oh gosh, I'll try to be succinct. I don't know if at this point I'm so far removed from it that like I'm like I would like to watch it again at some point. I think I saw it twice, but I'd like to watch it again at some point. I loved the first three, and I obviously think that the John Wick movies essentially single-handedly like changed the landscape, or like greatly impacted action films. Like, I don't think it can be even overstated, like the impact that they had on action movies. And so like, yeah, I love those movies as a whole. I think I was just a little, I don't know, confused, or just like the fourth one just didn't hit me like the first three had. And maybe is because it was like an ending, and it was like, it was driving to an ending point as opposed to just being like continuous uphill battles and like stuff like that. But I don't know, there were some choices made in it that I just found a little perplexing, like the ending. Not that we have to get into it, but I just was a little perplexed by visually, and also just like thematically, like I guess this is like a, you know, closed story for him, but it wasn't the ending that I wanted to see. And so maybe I was like bringing in that expectation. But if I were to really think about it and think about the actual story of John Wick, it probably does make more sense that like he would become like content with dying, and finally like sort of like going to be with his wife, so to speak, or like not feel like he has to keep fighting, basically. I don't know, that's all I really have to say about it. I'm really glad you liked it and that it was like, yeah.
What do you have another one you want to throw in?
So I mean, I feel like I just want to briefly talk about Killers of the Flower Moon.
Sure.
Because that's a movie that didn't have a ton of Oscar recognition. I mean, it's Martin Scorsese, so like people have been talking about it. And but there just were other movies this year that received more attention in like awards. And I don't know. It was not a movie that I like want to like immediately go watch again, you know. It's like it is a heavy movie. It is like tackling a very serious subject matter, but it also has some like oddly fun Scorsese touches that I wasn't expecting. I think if you were to ask me like personally on the Scorsese barometer, like I don't know, you guess you have like Goodfellas, and then you have like something like Silence on the other end of the spectrum, like this one is definitely like, I think leaning towards the silent spectrum, mm-hmm. but it's still in floating in the middle there, because there's crime and there's Robert De Niro's there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's just speaking with a thick what's the place?
Oklahoma accent.
Oklahomian accent. So anyway, but all that being said, I thought it was really effective. I thought it was really well done. I mean, like, it's a gut punch of a movie. Like, when it ends, you're just like, wow, humans are terrible. What have we done? How are we ever going to, like, make up for the sins of our past and, like, the sins that, like, these people committed to this entire people group that are still being felt to this day? And it's awful. And so, like, that was the intention of the movie, to, like, make you feel that. And it was successful on, like, smaller filmmaking fronts. I did feel like Leo was really good in it, and he had really great moments. But part of me did feel like, I don't know, like, kind of wishing that he and Jesse Plemons had, like, swapped roles. Like,
let me just jump in here, because that was the original plan, was that Leo would play the FBI agent. Okay, you knew that.
And that the movie was going to be more like the book, in that it focuses on the FBI investigation.
Yeah.
Which they changed. Obviously, if you've seen the movie, that's not what happens. There's still an investigation, but it's like a much smaller part of the movie, and it's more about...
Yeah.
Leo, and there's like, I don't know, there's like part of me that wishes we had gotten that movie, but also another part of me that really understands and respects that, like, they felt like in order to do the story and the like Osage justice, that, like, they needed to tell it from the point of view of Molly and of Ernest, and so I really respect that decision. But I think just from a pure, like, I don't know, from just like a purely like filmmaking perspective, like,
mm-hmm.
I felt like Leo was a little old for the role.
Yeah.
And because they even say in the movie, I think, what his age is supposed to be. And you're just like, that is not how old you are, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, you're not like in your late 20s. You're almost 50. I think it works mostly, but did you have any big thoughts on Killers of the Flower?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. I read the book before I saw it.
Oh, nice.
And I thought it was a really, really good template, or it would be a good study into how people adapt written material, because I think it is interesting to do something different than what... Like, most people would just go, here's chapter one, write the script. They just copy the book. That's what I would do if I was, you know, writing. But it takes kind of a master to read the whole thing, take a glance, and kind of synthesize it, and kind of transform it into what you got out of the book. And I think, like you were saying, you can definitely tell that's what happened. So I think that's just more interesting, no matter what happens or how it compares to the original. It's just more interesting. Otherwise, why do I need to watch the movie if I read the book? Or why do I need to read the book if I watch the movie? To me, it's just, I appreciated that kind of different take. I did think that the acting was really good. Everybody thought Lily Gladstone was going to win. Sadly, she didn't. Yeah. I definitely thought she was excellent. I think she really brought an interesting dimension to the character that I think, like you said, kind of in the book maybe isn't explored all that much. And I don't even know if it's because or by intent. I think it's just because she was kind of voiceless in the book.
Right.
And in real life.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
So I think right. they do interesting things to make her more three-dimensional.
Mm-hmm. It's honestly it's a devastating, obviously devastating story. The character of Ernest is a particularly devastating, tragic character. And that's props to, obviously, the screenplay and to Leo to, like, make me feel for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the movie, you know, like, not to give everything away, but, like, it's... He basically loses his wife, loses everything. But he really doesn't lose everything, actually. Like, that's part of the ending, and the impact of the ending is that, like, these people really essentially got off scot-free. But in terms of his, yeah, in terms of his relationship with his wife, it's completely lost. And, you know, here's this guy who has been, like, drugging, slowly killing his wife, basically. But, like, it's kind of unclear if he really knew what he was doing. And it's certainly clear that, like, which makes it all the more weird and crazy, but, like, it's certainly clear that whether or not he knew it, he still loved her and, like, still felt like they had a special relationship. And, like, that scene in the courtroom, like really got to me at the end of the movie. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like, when Leo wants to bring it, he can bring it. But I just didn't feel like... I didn't see the, like, performance I wanted to see until, like the last, like, third of the movie, if that makes sense. Anyway.
Yeah, no.
Let me throw this 2023 movie out there, because it was nominated, but it wasn't a huge success. But I think certain people recognized it for what it was, and that's The Creator, Gareth Edwards.
I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Were you going to bring it up?
Well, I want to talk about it because I saw that you posted a review and that you liked it.
Yeah, dude. So I watched this recently, and it's been on my list for a while, but I wanted to bring it up because, like I said, yeah, it wasn't like, didn't like win a bunch of awards or anything, but let me just try to, if I could crystallize my thoughts in a couple sentences, I feel like from a tonal perspective and a, like, using the cinematography and the sound and the setting and the visual effects to create a world and, like, set a tone from, like, that perspective alone, it to me was, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Truly, truly inventive and, like, set apart from virtually every other big budget science fiction movie that's being made today. It felt nostalgic but also, like, new. And so, as a whole, did the whole movie work for me, like, perfectly? No. But, like, the world that it built and the filmmaking behind it was so specific and executed so well that it was, like, just a feast of film. And I just, like, appreciated it so much as a film lover, and so I could say a ton more, but, like, I really liked it. It was a solid 4-star movie for me.
Just a few quick thoughts on it too. You were talking about how Cord Jefferson, the director of American Fiction, was kind of talking about how he thinks that the industry should move forward, and I think if Gareth Edwards had won for VFX, or The Creator had won for VFX, his speech would have been about, this is how you do visual effects on a budget and still make them look awesome and realistic and engaging. And I think the key, I've been listening to a lot of things on it, is they shot real locations and then did visual effects. Don't do all green screen or all visual effects. That, I think that's a lesson they learned on that. And then just my opinion, he filled the world with people and robots and it didn't feel empty. Like I just love that it felt like a world that was our own, slightly removed. And that's, I think, what made it special too.
100%. Yeah. I think I was listening, I wonder if it was the same interview, but I was listening to a interview that Gareth Edwards, Greg Fraser, and Oren Suffer did with a famous cinematographer who has a website called Shot Deck, where it's like basically a database of stills from movies that filmmakers can pull to use as references, or like pull and see like this was the color palette, this was the format, the camera was used, the lens, like stuff like that. But he does interviews with filmmakers from time to time, and they talked about exactly what you just said, how like it cost them less money to fly to all the different locations they went to and shoot there for real than it would have to like build a set for each of those places. And so, like I feel like Gareth Edwards, his, even though all of his movies haven't necessarily like stuck with me personally or like impacted me, significantly, like his point of view as a filmmaker and his approach, I feel like is what like the industry needs and is like, so so that was an exciting movie. What's another one for you, Zach?
The one I really want to talk about that I would almost say is my favorite movie of last year is The Holdovers.
Wow. Okay. So this is a movie, I'll let you talk about it. This is one that I have not seen that is like one of the several that I still want to watch. Because I have heard nothing but good things.
People were thinking it could have won Best Picture. Like it would have been possibly between, you know, a runner-up.
And Giamatti, too, I felt like
there was... Exactly. It was kind of those two. And I think it was deserving, but the Oscars lately have kind of been going for feel-good movies. Not this year, but in the past few years, you could say. Like with Coda, things like that. This felt like it fell into that pattern. But it's just a really enjoyable movie. Like, I don't know what word to use other than that. I think it's crafted really well. The acting's good. All these things. But it's weird how it's such... The story's based around such a depressing thing. Like, a kid being stuck at college for Christmas break. That sounds terrible. But it's such an enjoyable movie. Like, he brings such comfort and warmness out of it that I think is really the key to the success of it. And the way they shot it is super cool too. They made it look like it would have come out in the 70s, so it has a particular grain. The period costuming, it's just, if you picked it off the shelf and maybe didn't see the year it came out, I think you would believe it. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I just loved it.
That's really, I've seen some things about it, and makes me want to see it even more. I feel like I kind of have to wait until Christmas to watch it.
It is a good Christmas movie.
But cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know what number we're at, but I'll quickly throw another movie in here. I mean, it feels like overstated at this point, but like, cause it was like the biggest movie of 2023, but, I would be remiss to not talk about Barbie at least a little bit. That would be very un-Ken of me to not talk about Barbie. But there's obviously so much to say, so much that has been said. But just, I mean, honestly, aside from the bigness of it, the success of it, which is huge, and I think, I mean, just like very notable, if not the most notable thing about it, being that like it came from this like one of our few auteur female filmmakers, and that it, that she branched out and made this like big budget comedy, like broad comedy, but still managed to, you know, infuse it with her point of view and like her humor, and particularly what she, you know, wanted to say, what she and Margot Robbie wanted to say about womanhood. And like, it's just like, it's hard to even crystallize everything that Greta Gerwig is doing, because it's because what you're watching is just ultimately so funny and like just enjoyable, just an enjoyable time, that you almost forget all of the thought and intention that like went into making it. There is a version of Barbie that's like terrible, right? That's like surface level, and you know, all like CGI, or not to like just downplay CGI, the fact that she wanted to make essentially, you know, like The Sound of Music, and like that she wanted to make His Girl Friday, create this world. I almost wish that like we saw more of Barbie Land in the movie. Like when they go to the real world, you almost feel a little sad,
right?
Which I think is how you're supposed to feel. Because, yeah, just like the world that she created and the character she created with Barbie and Ken are just like, I really hope it's not just like a one-time occurrence, I guess. Like, I really hope that Barbie, you know, changes things in a lot of ways. But at the very least, I want to see Greta Gerwig make
more comedies,
more movies, and and just want to see, you know, women making movies, like for women, and telling stories that are female centric and don't have to like be one thing. So We've gotten that for centuries as dudes, you know, like we've gotten things catered to us. And ironically, we know we're talking about John Wick and Mission Impossible and like The Killer. These are things made for us, you know? Anyway, that's like, just wanted to flag that. Barbie, good movie.
Did we miss anything? Is there anything that you just have shout into the pod?
I don't think so, man. I feel like we covered a lot. There's obviously a lot of movies we didn't talk about. A lot of them were just movies that I haven't seen yet, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like Maestro and Poor Things and Anatomy of a Fall. I think Anatomy of a Fall, coming out of the Oscars, was like the one that I was most interested in watching that I hadn't seen. That one and Zone of Interest. But both of those feel like, you know, talk about carving aside 2 hours to watch something.
And it's being like, in the right headspace. And
So, anything you want to add?
I think I'm good. That was a fun review of 23 and catching up together on some things we hadn't chatted about yet. So,
for sure. Yeah, we got a couple rants in there. We got, you know, covered a wide swath, I think. So, awesome. Sweet. Well, let's wrap it up right there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us on Movies from the Middle Row. We're excited to be back at it, and just more than anything, excited to talk to you again, Zach, and talk to somebody who, you know, actually wants to talk about these things. And
I know, like, the feeling.
Doesn't, yeah. Isn't like, why are we still talking about movies? Or, but I will just say our wives are very patient with us and loving, and we love them.
Certainly.
But yeah, thanks for listening. And I think next time we're gonna talk about Dune Part 2.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So get ready for some spicy conversation. We're gonna be doing the sand walk.
Get
in our seats.
Get your unrhythmic walking pattern ready, and your sweatsuit or whatever they call it.
Still suit.
Thank
you. Yeah, man. My birthday's coming up, and so is my brother-in-law's birthday's coming up, and so my sister-in-law's gonna appreciate this shout out, I'm sure, because she listens. But I've been joking constantly with them because he hasn't even seen the first Dune yet, and like, so we keep joking around about having celebrating our birthdays together and like finally sitting down and watching Dune. And I have all these demands for watching. Obviously, it has to be on like the biggest TV, best sound bar we can find.
In the dark, all that good stuff.
Exactly. Fully dark. I haven't even told them all of these demands, but they'll hear it. Some dirt pudding with like gummy worms, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Those felt very fitting.
Are you guys going to like watch them back to back or just the first one? What are we talking here?
Probably just the first one. Okay. I mean, I don't think going to the theater with kids and stuff for 3 hours is going to be in the cards like for us, but hopefully watching the first one. So.
Yeah.
But Dune Part 2, we're going to talk about it. Super excited to talk about it. So make sure you keep listening.
See you later.
See you guys.